When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Welcome to Deconstructive Criticism. I'm your host, Aaron Flam, and today's episode promises enlightening insights. We're joined by Dr. Mordechai Kedar, a distinguished professor of Arab culture at Bar-Ilan University and a veteran with a quarter century of service in military intelligence. Your support has fueled this series, and for that, I'm immensely grateful. It's your curiosity and engagement that bring these riveting conversations to life. In this session, we're delving into the expertise of Dr. Kedar, who stands as a leading authority on Arab culture in Israel. Notably, he is among the rare voices to engage with Arab media in their own language, advocating for Israel with eloquence and insight in fluent Arabic. Dr. Kedar offers a sobering perspective. The quest for peace in Israel is shadowed by the broader tumult within the Arab and Muslim worlds. If internal strife persists, what hope is there for external harmony, particularly with the Jewish state? We'll explore the religious dimensions of the Israeli-Arab conflict and unravel the complex relationship between the Palestinian Authority and Hamas. Prepare for a thought-provoking discussion. Enjoy.
Welcome to Deconstructive Criticism, Dr. Mordechai Kedar.
Thank you so much, Aaron, for having me here.
It's an honor to have you. Lieutenant Colonel, 25 years in military intelligence, Israel's foremost expert in Arab culture.
Thank you.
It's an honor to meet you, sir.
It's my pleasure to be here.
May I ask, as a beginning question, how does a Jew from Tel Aviv become interested in Arab culture?
Well, you can add to the question a Jewish boy from Tel Aviv whose mother tongue is Yiddish and parents originally came from Poland. You can add this to the question. Well, I had a very good teacher for Arabic in the high school and a man who originally came from Germany. And a group of 13 kids fell in love with him. And we were learning Arabic very seriously. And at the end of the high school, we've already read parts of the Quran, classical literature, modern literature, the journalism. We could read a newspaper from side to side without any dictionary, already at the end of high school, which is a very high level. And then we went to the military intelligence. I was there for 25 years. And meanwhile, I started also academic career. And after I was released in 1995, I joined the Bar-Ilan University as a doctoral candidate. And then I was teacher. And all the rest is history.
It is. May I ask you something about October 7th? Did October 7th change your perspective on the conflict between Israel and its neighbors?
Not at all. For years, I'm talking about the depth of this conflict, which is not about territory. It's not even about existence of the state of Israel. It is about religion. Because in the eyes of Muslims, Judaism as religion is null and void after it was replaced by Christianity, and Christianity was replaced by Islam. So both Judaism and Christianity are null and void. Din batil, as they say in Arabic, canceled religion, while it's only Islam is din haq, means religion of truth. So Judaism doesn't exist, so we don't need a Jewish state. If there is no reason to have a Jewish state if the Jewish religion doesn't exist anymore. Second point is that the Jewish people are not a people, are not a nation. According to the Islamic view, we are communities which belong to all the nations in the world. A Jew in America is an American Jew, just like other Americans who could be Christians or Muslims or whatever. A Jew in Morocco is a Moroccan Arab who happened to be Jewish, just like other Moroccan Arabs who are Muslims or Christians or whatever. Same thing in Iraq, the same thing in Russia, the same thing in Yemen, the same thing everywhere. Jews are not a nation. Jews belong to the nations which they were living with. And the religion did not make them into one nation. So if there is no Jewish nation, why should there be a Jewish state for a nation which doesn't exist? The third problem, according to the Islamic religion, is that this country, which they call Palestine, is an Islamic country, just like every other country which ever was part of the Islamic home, Dar al-Islam. Because any land has only one-way ticket to enter the house of Islam, not to get out. This is why, for example, they claim that Spain should return to be Islamic.
Al-Andalus.
Sicily. The island of Sicily should return to be Islamic. Large parts of the Balkans, which once were under Islamic rule, should return to be Islamic. All the way to Vienna, to the gates of Vienna, when they were they defeated in September 11 of 1683. So all the space on the way to Vienna should return to be Islamic, and this country as well. After all, countries have only one-way ticket. The fourth problem, according to Islam, is that Jews and Christians should live under the yoke of Islam as dhimmis, as people who live under the auspice of Islam. Jews and Christians have no right to states, to statehood, to sovereignty. They all have to be dhimmis under the Islamic law. They are not allowed to ride a horse, only a donkey. Their homes should be lower than the Muslim houses. They cannot correspond with other countries because they might reveal our secrets. And many other ways of humiliation, they should pay the jizya, means the skull tax, when they are humiliated, because this is what is stated in the Quran. And jizya is a tax which a man should pay according to the number of people which he have in his family. So all these rules which were designed to denigrate and to humiliate the Jews and the Christians under the rule of Islam. All of a sudden, Jews are coming back to this country, are buying lands. In 1948, they have a state. And in 1967, they occupy Jerusalem. And some Jews want to pray on the Temple Mount. And all this means that by the state and the occupation of the land, as they say, and the returning of Jerusalem and praying on Temple Mount, it all means that Judaism actually came back to life after it was canceled by Islam. And this is something which they cannot take, that they cannot fathom. Because according to Islam, Judaism is null and void. How can Judaism come back to life like resurrection?
Allah wills it.
This is a deed of a Satan. What Israel is, Israel was actually made by a Satan in order to put the Muslims in some kind of ordeal, Will they obey Allah and fight jihad against this Jewish illegitimate state, or will they accept it and live with us? And this is actually the ordeal which they are all facing now. And those who are willing to, you know, really to go to the fight, to the jihad, are Hamas and the Islamic Jihad and many other organizations who are motivated by Islam. And this is, we do have peace with other countries, like in Egypt, with Jordan, with the Emirates, with Bahrain, with Morocco. Yes, they postpone the problem. They are not the executioners of Allah. So, meanwhile, they have to make living, so they make peace with Israel, not because they accept the existence of a Jewish state. They accept the existence of Israel as a state. And since Israel can support them vis-a-vis Iran, vis-a-vis other things, so they, meanwhile, make peace with Israel, not because Israel has a right to exist, but because Israel exists.
But does that mean that Israel is Dar al-Harb?
In principle, yes. In practical life, you can postpone things. Like Hudna, because Israel is too powerful to mess with. And the Islamic culture is not a suicidal culture. They will send fighters to commit suicide or to be fighters. They don't consider it suicide. They call it istishhad, means willing to be a shaheed, martyr. But as a culture, as a nation, as a group, Muslims want to live and to thrive and to succeed and to take other countries, as they do in Europe, by migration jihad, as they consider it. And they are not suicidal. Yet, when they face a strong nation, a strong army, they retrieve until the strong army becomes weak or falls asleep on guard.
Is that what happened on October 7th? Did they think that Israel was asleep?
Unfortunately, yes. They, for 16 and a half years, are running a state in Gaza. Hamas, since they took Gaza over in June 2007, they had 16 and a half good years to develop the place and to convince Israel that all they want is development, money, work in Israel, you know, to make good living and to make good state. And they actually put the jihad into some kind of a storage. This is the impression which Israel had from top to toe. And this actually was the conception which led us to fall asleep on guard while they were preparing a war, which we can see that there were some people who were warning from this thing. Yet, people do not accept them. The army did not prepare itself to such an assault. And the results are more than clear.
Indeed, they are. What does Hamas want?
First of all, Hamas doesn't want to see Israel at all, to dismantle Israel altogether. Yet, they now want, as the situation now, and we are in the 137th day of this war, they want to survive because they didn't expect that Israel will invade Gaza because they had over 200 hostages, and they believe that if Israel wants to keep these hostages alive, Israel will refrain from invading Gaza. This was a surprise that Israel invaded Gaza and actually destroyed Hamas almost totally in this point. And Israel is going forward in order to destroy Hamas from the military point of view and from the government point of view. No doubt Israel cannot allow such a thing to remain in Gaza. What will be the day after? There are all kinds of options. Yet Israel has learned the lesson. And now we are insisting on getting rid of Hamas altogether. The world understands it. Most, let's say, democratic countries supported Israel at the beginning, at least. And even now, people understand that Hamas is an organization which, like, it's just like ISIS. And since the whole world went to ISIS in Iraq and Syria to get rid of it. Now the world understands what we are facing. After all, many politicians and journalists and other people saw what they did on October 7th, and they understand that this kind of mentality, no normal country can live with such a mentality.
And the day after, will the PA take over Gaza?
We are afraid that this might be the solution which Americans and Europeans might push forward. But the PA is no different from Hamas. Let me show you. I have these two scarves, both of Hamas and the PA. Look at this. This is a scarf of Hamas, the Hamas chapter of Bir Zeit University. Here you can see the map of Israel, all Israel.
Yes.
This is Metula, this is the Lat, and this is all. And this is the book, the Quran, with a verse which says to fight, to strike terror into the hearts of the infidels. This is the verse which is written here. But the whole land of Israel is here. Means for them, there is no space for Israel. This is all Palestine. The PA means the Palestinian Authority, which is the government arm of the PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization, also. And this is the flag, the PLO flag. This is Palestine. It is the whole country. So what is the difference between Hamas and the PLO?
You're the expert, you tell me.
They want to eradicate Israel in the name of Islam. This is why this is green, the color of paradise. And they want to erase Israel altogether in the name of the Palestinian nationalism. Or Arab nationalism, which they are part of.
But isn't there a difference between secular nationalism and Islamism?
No. What is the difference? They want to slaughter us in the name of Islam, and they want to slaughter us in the name of nationalism.
Yes, well, they want to slaughter you for different reasons.
But the bottom line is the same.
Yes, the consequences are the same.
Can we trust these better than we trust these? For our security?
Personally, I don't think so. But don't you think there's a difference in principle?
No. What is the difference between those who want to eradicate you because you are Jewish by religion and those who want to eradicate you because you are religion by nationalism? Because you are Jewish in both. Look, you can read very clearly the charters of both organizations. Hamas is more religious. And they claim that Israel has no right to exist at all because it's against Islam. They say that Israel has no right to exist altogether because it's against the Arab nationalism. So Israel is an illegitimate entity for those and these together. So what can you delegate our security to these people rather than these people? What is the big difference?
Well, the practical difference for Jews in Israel would be nil, none,
of course,
nothing.
Of course. This is why we are rather surprised to see that there are some Americans who should know something, especially when all the sources are in English and they can read everything in English and the decisions and the charters and everything, to see that the PLO and the PA is more or less a replica of Hamas.
Yes, but
there are some differences in the, let's say, background. But the bottom line of activity. Look, not only Hamas is a terror organization, the PLO has two active terror organizations. One is the Tanzim of the Fatah, and one is Shuhada al-Aqsa, means the Aqsa Martyrs Brigades. And they are armed people who go around with masked faces and call around for the eradication of the State of Israel in the name of the PLO.
And the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, they partook in October 7th, didn't they?
Yes, but don't forget that in Gaza, the Al-Aqsa Brigades are in the margin because it is controlled by Hamas. But the Assad brigades took very, very important part, devastating part, in the Second Intifada. And thousands of Israelis were killed by these people. So Can they be trusted? And don't forget, even the security organizations of the PA, people who serve in these organizations actually are part of the Al-Aqsa Martyrs organization. For salary, they work in the security organizations, but during the day they are in the security organizations, and at night they are terrorists.
So what will happen the day after Israel wins this war in Gaza?
Well, I think that Israel should have done it long ago, to dismantle the PA to Emirates. And Emirates in each and every one of the cities of Judea and Samaria, the Arab part of Hebron, Jericho, Ramallah, Nablus, Jenin, Tul Karim and Qalqilya, 7 cities, each and every one should be a separate, independent emirate based on the local clans. Based on the old clans, just like the...
And are all these cities controlled by just one clan?
No. They are different clans. They don't get married with each other.
Yes, but each city has its own clan.
Yes.
And there's not many clans in each city.
In Hebron, there are 5 big clans, and they live together usually peacefully. And they have a court which solves all the problems between the clans. In Jericho, there is one clan, Arikat. In Nablus, there are 3 clans, Masri, Tukan, and Shaka. In Tul Karim, there is one clan, Karmi. So, they live in peace with each other. Creating a state based on many clans, like all the cities together and all the place, will bring us to like Syria, to the same situation, or Iraq, or Lebanon.
Why is that?
Because the Arab world actually is divided to 2 kinds of states, the successful states and the failing states. The failing states are Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Yemen, Sudan, Libya, maybe Algeria as well. While the successful ones are Kuwait, Qatar, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, 5 more Emirates in the United Arab Emirates, Oman and Saudi Arabia. The failing states are conglomerates of clans, ethnic groups like Arabs, Kurds, Turkmens, Turkish, Berbers in North Africa, religious groups like Muslims, Christians, Yazidis, Alawis, Druze, and many others, and sectarian groups, Sunnah, Shia, Salafis, Sufis, and all kinds of others. And they are not galvanized. They are not one group. And with the years, they did not make a nation. There is no Syrian nation. There is no Iraqi nation. There are clans and ethnic groups which fight each other. And this is why the state is a failure, because the organization of the state tries to impose itself on everybody by coercion, by force. And this is why the state is illegitimate in the eyes of most of the population. While the successful countries, Kuwait, Qatar, and so forth, each and everyone is one clan.
So it's a collectivist society.
Kuwait belongs to a clan named Al-Sabah. Al is a clan. Al-Sabah. Qatar is Al Thani. Dubai, Al Maktoum. Abu Dhabi, Al Nahyan. Saudi Arabia, Al Saud. Okay? When you have a clan, one clan, which owns a state, the state is stable. The state is legitimate, unlike the failing states. The leadership is the traditional leadership of the tribe, of the clan. And since the society is stable, the political arena is stable, and on this you can build skyscrapers. If you have oil, like Abu Dhabi, you make money out of the oil. If you don't have oil, like Dubai, you build buildings by economy, by private sector, which develops the country.
And what if you're a clan in the West Bank? You don't have oil then?
Dubai has no oil as well. So you make business. Dubai is based on business. So they make business. If they have oil, let them have oil. If not, they can make business.
So you have a seven emirate solution.
Seven emirates, just for the Judea and Samaria. What I want is to emulate the system of the Gulf to the same, because look, it's the Arab world. It's more or less the same culture. If you go along the culture, with the culture, and you build a state based on the culture of clanism, the state is stable, normal, good for the people. Or it's not a democracy, because here in the Middle East, they don't believe in democracy. But they believe in we control ourselves. So since every clan controls itself, it's legitimate. And they work together with each other, and they for the common good of everybody. If you create a state with many clans or many groups which don't get married with each other, which don't mingle with each other, you get a mayhem, like Syria, like Iraq, bloodbath.
So,
and therefore, if you establish a Palestinian state with all the clans together, all the cities together, only a matter of time until it becomes something like Syria or Iraq. While if you establish in every city an emirate based on the local clans, you get Dubai, you get Abu Dhabi, you get Kuwait, and this is what I advocate for years already. And those who understand this idea, they support it.
Well, I read about it. I found it fascinating, a bit troubling, because as a universalist, you always want to export democracy, individualism, freedom, and ownership rights to everyone in the world.
What we all call universal values.
Yes.
Yes, but let me give you a news. What we deem as universal or universal values are accepted by more or less 20% of humanity. That's all. They are not accepted in China. They are not accepted in India. They are not accepted in Japan in most cases, but they have their own system. It's not accepted in Russia. It's not accepted in many parts of Europe. What we call universal values are more or less Western Europe, North America, Australia, New Zealand, Israel. That's all. Which is more or less 20%. Even less percent of humanity. So it's not so universal.
So you think we should stop, as the West does, to what's the word in
promote.
English? Promote. Well, we can say promote. I was going to say to do missionary service.
Proliferate.
Yes. Yes, exactly, that word.
Proselytize.
Proselytize.
Proselytize something from the religious discourse. But what I'm saying is, you can work on exporting democracy. It's okay. But don't forget that what we deem as democracy actually is in contrast to what many nations believe. Let me give you for the Islamic side. Democracy is human rights, women's rights, freedom of women, means to do whatever they like, with whoever they like, whenever they like, freedoms of gays and lesbians, freedom of speech, freedom of criticism, freedom of religion, freedom from religion, and elections. Okay, let's assume these are the values of democracy. Okay? Except for elections, everything is unacceptable in Islamic society.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You cannot accept any freedom of women to do whatever they like with whoever they like, whenever they like. Unacceptable, totally unacceptable in Islam. Gays and lesbians, forget it. Freedom from religion. If you are a Muslim and you live in Islamic environment and you announce that you are leaving Islam, in most cases, you will, your head will leave your body. Okay, so, but what I mean is that the core components of democracy are totally unacceptable in Islamic societies, and this is the reason why there is not even one democratic country which is Islamic.
Yes, but a Western critic might say to you in that case, well, Christianity was the same not long ago. They didn't allow gays or lesbians. They didn't have freedom of speech. They didn't let women vote or own things. But they changed.
Okay, so let's wait. When Islam will change, look, don't forget that Islam today is it's in its 15th century. How did Europe look like in the 15th century?
Like it wasn't a pride parade.
Not at all. How many Huguenots were slaughtered by Catholics in France a few hundred years ago? Okay, only because they were not Catholics. Okay, so Europe had also some eras of extremism based on religion. Okay, Europe got older with the years. Islam is still young, only 15th century. So, okay, we'll wait 500 years and we'll see.
So we'll do what parents do to teenagers. We just shut them into their rooms and wait until they grow up.
Look, you can give them the opportunities. Hey, guys, you can, if you want to change, change yourself. But don't bother us. Don't expect us to accept you when you are still doing what you do.
I also read, I heard about your eight-state solution, which includes Gaza. You were originally planning to give them an emirate, but since then, since October 7th, you've changed, haven't
as
you?
As long as Hamas were controlling Gaza, I went with the situation. Gaza should, according to what I advocated for many years, Gaza should be deterred, really, not virtually, but really be deterred. And the Hamas should be contained. If they want to have a state, let them have a state. As long as they don't threaten us, as long as they cannot endanger the existence of Israel, as we saw on October 7th. Yes, Gaza was controlled very well by Hamas for 16 and a half years. However, now there is no Hamas. Let's hope that Hamas are not being left by Israel. And therefore, now we can divide or accept the administrative division of Gaza to five parts, because Gaza is divided for many years already to administrative areas. And we actually can accept this division and to establish five emirates in each and every one of these districts.
So now we have 12 emirates on the borders of Israel.
It's okay. As long as they are stable, as long as they do what they have to do and they don't do what they don't have to do, live peacefully within themselves and with us, the number doesn't make any difference.
I also heard you talk about, on your YouTube channel, the Qatari solution is what I'd like to call it.
Yes. And this is actually what should have been done if the world would think in a normal way. Qatar is responsible for what happened in Gaza, no doubt. Qatar is the country which funded Hamas for many years, and Qatar should bear the consequences of what Qatar did. Now, Qatar has no problem to take the almost 2 million people from Gaza. Absolutely no problem. First of all, they have a whole fleet of airplanes in their Qatari airplane company. They have 269 airplanes. Average capacity, 300 passengers. It will take them 1 week to move all Gaza to Qatar easily.
Well, that's 1.5 million people.
Calculated to 269 airplanes. Every airplane will take something like 7,500 people, divided to 300 in each flight. It means that they have to make every plane 25 flights. 25 flights of 2.5 hours. You can have 5 flights per day of every airplane. Means that within a week, the whole problem of Gaza is solved.
Because, well, not for the Qataris.
No. First of all, they have many dormitories which they built for the World Cup, which they had 2 years ago. And these dormitories are empty. They can host the Gazans in no time. Secondly, they have many hotels in Qatar. Thirdly, for those who will not find place in the dormitories and the hotels, the Qataris, who have gazillions of dollars, can build for them very easily and very quickly housing, factories, malls, and whatever they need in order to absorb them and to solve the problem of Gaza, which they created, if not only funded for many years. However, I'm not sure that the world will call Qatar to order, as the world should do, because, as much as I suspect, Qatar actually paid too many people in order not to have any demand from Qatar in the future. And these people are afraid that Qatar will reveal who received Qatari money or who did not. Just to give you an example, there was a Greek lady who used to work for the European Union. And she actually prevented any discussion of the human rights violations in Qatar when thousands of workers who worked to prepare Qatar for the World Cup in 2022 died on the job in Qatar because of the heat in that place. So she didn't allow, she didn't enable any discussion in the European Union institutions. And the police started to sniff around and they bursted into her home in Greece and they found boxes of cash money, which she got from Qatar, in order to make sure that nobody discusses the human rights violations in Qatar. Okay, I'm afraid that there are... Look, it is well known that Qatar is one of the donors of the Clinton Foundation in the United States. Qatar poured billions of dollars on American universities, so many students, you know, many people who today are in the government, owe Qatar their degree because they studied on the expense of Qatar. So this is how Qatar actually paralyzed the world from criticizing Qatar and from coming with all kinds of demands, like to solve the problem of Gaza, which they can within a week.
But the world will not pressure Qatar to take in...
Unfortunately.
But and Qatar wasn't alone in financing and training Hamas. I mean...
Qatar was the main source of money for Hamas. Israel enabled it because part of the Israeli failure was the conception that Hamas are contained and deterred. And this is why we allowed Qatar to bring the money to Gaza. But we don't give the money. We just enable it or allow. By the way, they would do it even without Israel's consent. They could do it through bank transfer, through the wire, to the SWIFT. So they didn't really need Israel to agree for this. But they did it. And this was Qatari money, which funded Hamas. And this is why Qatar should be viewed as the responsible for the destruction of Gaza and for rebuilding the life of the Gazans in Qatar as well.
I understand. But what about Iran?
I mean, Iran is another problem. And Iran is a country which actually spread many organizations all over the Middle East, especially in failing states like Lebanon, like Syria, Iraq, Yemen, and Gaza, which was controlled by Iran. And Iran actually did it not by recruiting states, but by implanting organizations like Hezbollah. Why is this different? States are bound by the international law. states are subject to international sanctions, like from the Security Council, from Human Rights Council, all kinds of, or the judicial forms in Hague, in La Haye. While organizations are free to do whatever they like. So this is why you have a party in Lebanon, the Hezbollah, who owns, according to the media, 150,000 missiles. Would you agree to the, let's say, any party in Europe will have missiles in order to convince the people that they are right?
No, I don't think I would, but...
But in the Arab world, it is accepted. And not only this, there are European countries which work with Hezbollah on civil projects. After all, Hezbollah is not only a terror organization. It has a cellular phone company. It has shares in the airspace company of Lebanon Middle East Airlines. They have insurance company. They have construction company. The biggest construction company in Lebanon is Jihad al-Bina, means the Jihad of construction. For them, this is also part of the Jihad. So, and European countries cooperate with this companies because this is a cellular company. This is an airline company. This is a construction company. Well, what's wrong with this? But they all belong to Hezbollah. To a terror organization.
And the West doesn't understand.
But Europeans do not see the terror side. They see only the one side which they like. Okay, so this is how money came to terrorism in Lebanon and destroyed Lebanon. Because today, Lebanon is destroyed.
Yeah, it's a failed state.
Failed state. Because the Europeans, part of the reason is that the Europeans actually cooperated with Hezbollah, which destroyed Lebanon. And what do the Europeans say about this?
Nothing. We don't have much clout anymore, politically speaking.
Okay, so this is the problem, that too many people in the world cooperated with terrorism. Now, who is behind the whole thing? Hamas and Hezbollah, Iran. And unfortunately, there are countries which still see Iran as a legitimate player on the international arena. Iran should have been devastated since the Ayatollahs took over in 1979. Because this is something which the world cannot accept. The civilized world cannot accept.
Why do you think the American response to Iranian aggression is so weak? Because they're not attacking Israel.
I'm not an expert about America. But what I think that Americans always hope that something good will come out of these thugs in Iran. And that's why they negotiate with them for many years. And they know that they are cheated. The Americans know that the Iranians are cheating them. Time and again, in everything which they talked, in everything which they were talking about. And the only thing which can change the Iranian behavior is only a credible threat. A real threat of destruction. This is the only thing which convinces them to change their behavior. The only thing. But unfortunately, the world, especially the United States, are not willing to pose any a threat on Iran because if they don't do what they are asked, so what? You're going to open a war against Iran? You know, the world is not so happy to have more wars in the Middle East after the failures of Afghanistan, failures of Iraq, and many others. So the world says, meanwhile, let them do whatever they like. We'll solve the problem tomorrow if we have any problem with them.
Well, appeasement policy hasn't worked historically. I mean,
never.
Usually it just leads to a higher bill that you have to pay later.
Definitely. But every president shoves the ball to the court of the next one. Let him deal with this. I don't want to mess with this. I want to finish my term. Let me go home to write my memoir, and that's it.
Britain and the United States have recently said that they are prepared to unilaterally acknowledge a Palestinian state.
Well, let me tell you what will happen in this Palestinian state. One day we will be informed that there is a democratic party in the Palestinian state. The party will be called Democracy and Development, for example. And this actually will be Hamas. Just like in Turkey, Erdogan's party, which is Islamic, Muslim Brotherhood Party, is called Justice and Development. Who is against justice and development? Okay, so they will be called Democracy and Human Rights Party. Are you against it? Nobody is against it. But there actually will be Hamas. And they will run, and they will win. By the way, they already won in 2006. The majority of the seats of the PA Legislative Council are occupied by Hamas since January 2006. It can happen again. Because something which happened already can happen again. And again. And again. And this way, by democratic means, the Palestinian state, which America and Britain recognize, actually will turn to be another Hamastan. And will they come here or send their troops to here to get rid of Hamas another time after we got rid of them in Gaza?
I don't think so.
So this is why these people don't understand that the consequences of their decision will be devastating for the state of Israel. And apparently they don't care. I don't have any other explanation. They don't care about Israel. And let me tell you, if Israel falls under the Islamic pressure, which is maintained by Iran, by the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas and all the other proxies of Iran, they will be in Europe in no time. Because the Mediterranean will take them very easily to Italy, to Greece, and from there all the way to Europe. And the Atlantic Ocean is not wide enough to keep America away from this problem, which will be in Europe, because they will be so much encouraged by the fact that they succeeded to defeat Israel, that it will take Europe in no time. In no time.
Well, I think it was Gaddafi who said, the Europeans are stupid, we can take Europe without firing a single bullet.
Yeah, but by birth rate.
Yes.
And, okay, so, but look, they are now a significant minority in many European countries, Sweden included. If they burst to the streets to burn everything and to destroy everything, who will fight them?
Well, I'll tell you, because we recently had a series of Quran burnings in Sweden, and that led to riots in migrant areas, and our police retreated. Many were hurt.
Okay. It can happen in Germany as well. It can happen in France. And actually, it is happening in France. Because once in a while, you have riots in the streets, in neighborhoods like Saint-Saint-Denis, Barbès, the Islamic neighborhoods of Paris. We saw in Marseille, we saw it in Lyon. And these people, since they came to Europe, they feel that Europe is their homeland. They don't think about going back to their home countries, because this is the homeland. They came to stay, and they came to change.
Well, as you probably know, Sweden took in quite a lot of immigrants. We have been taking in a lot of immigrants for decades now, but since 2015, the Syrian migration crisis, or whatever you'd like to call it.
Well, I wish Sweden good luck.
What do you think will happen?
Look, if you take the birth rate of the Swedes versus the birth rate of the migrants, it is something which you can calculate when they will be the majority.
Pew Research did. Worst case scenario, they will be 30% of the country by 2050 or 2030. I don't remember, but one of those.
If migration stops, only
yes.
By birth rate, but by birth rate.
Yes,
I'm not sure that migration has stopped.
No, it hasn't.
Means it will be before 2050 because the migration plus high birth rate.
And then what will happen to Sweden?
Well, maybe the name of the country will be changed, or Swedistan, it will be called.
Al Swed?
And maybe the flag will be changed with the crescent, or maybe the language will be changed. All kinds of things can be changed.
Well, our flag has a cross on it.
This is why it will be different. Because they don't like the cross so much.
I've come to understand that. Nor do they like the Star of David.
Definitely.
So you read a lot of Arab news, I suppose, and you know more about people in Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, as it's called in Europe, and Gaza than most people do. What's their impression of what happened on October 7th?
First of all, most of them support it.
Do you mean in Gaza and the West Bank or wider in the Arab world?
Wider, wider. Many Arabs support it because in their view, Israel has no right to exist. And men are soldiers, so they can be slaughtered, although they are not serving in the army, but they will or did. Women are the mothers of soldiers, so they should be slaughtered as well. Old women are the grandmothers of soldiers. Children will grow up to be soldiers. So all the Israeli society is actually a military society, so you can slaughter them all. So for them, the fact that the girls were slaughtered and raped in near Gaza on October 7th, it's okay. Why do you occupy an Islamic country like Palestine? Go away from where you came from, to Poland, to Morocco, wherever you came. And you are, means they blame us for what happened because we shouldn't be here. They don't agree that this was our land, you know, in the first temple, second temple. They don't recognize the Jewish history. By the way, they don't think that the Bani Israel, the sons of Israel, who are mentioned in the Quran, are the actual Jews of today. Because those Bani Israel vanished. This is a mythologic nation which once existed, while the Jews of today are converts from the 15th century, from Khuzar. This is what they think. So since we don't have any connection with the Israelites, we don't have any connection to the land of Israel.
But the Khazari theory about where Jews come from, that's a pretty recent theory, isn't it?
Well, many theories grew up since the Zionism started and established the state of Israel. There is a theory which says that the whole Bible is something which was authored by the Zionists after 1948 in order to justify the existence of the state of Israel. I heard the Bible was written in 1948.
Hmm.
What is all the translations of the Bible to Latin, from the Vulgata from the first century CE, to Greece, to Greek in the third century BCE, to English, many translations, I believe Swedish also. All the music compositions, like the Messiah of Handel, which includes verses from the Bible, were these all also written by the Zionists after 1948? Okay, such stupid things which they believe in, but people are talking about this. And now it's very hard to convince them because this is what they read in the social media. This is what they read in all kinds of books which they publish. They believe that the Protocols of the Elders of Zion is a real book, a real protocol of meetings of Jews. They don't believe that this... Look, many actually believe in the Mein Kampf of Hitler. It was found in Gaza in many copies. Their worldview is totally against Israel, against Jews, against the mere existence of the state of Israel. And with the money which they have, they disseminate all this propaganda all over the world.
And the West as well needs to fall, in their view.
Not only this. Look, the biggest lie of the 20th century, the existence of the Palestinian nation. This nation was not mentioned anywhere before the 20th century.
Well, it's a KGB invention from 1964.
One of the things, yes. And even until today, many of the Palestinians carry names like Al-Masri, means the Egyptian, Al-Horani, from the Horan in Syria, Tarabulsi, from Tripoli in Lebanon, Sidawi, from Sidon, Al-Hijazi, from the Hijaz in Saudi Arabia, Fayumi, from a place named Fayum in Egypt. Many of them carry these names until this very day, and they claim that they are Palestinians.
Well, if you deny archaeology, then You might as well.
Yeah, archaeology was invented by the Zionists.
I was afraid of that.
Yeah, of course. They don't believe in anything. And Jews, if they were here, they were like Bedouins, came and went, didn't do anything, didn't leave anything in this country. This is what they believe, and the Arab media actually disseminates these ideas without any problem.
Since I have you, I know you're not an expert on American, but you are cued in to the Iranian problem, and they are friends with Russia and China, if we elevate our thinking to the global level. What do you think will happen now?
Well, if you look at the global arena, you can see that there are two coalitions. After we had the two coalitions in the Cold War between the West and the East, now we have more or less the same thing. We have the West, like NATO, United States, Canada, Australia, Israel, the West. And we have Russia, as was the center of those times, Iran, China, North Korea, South Africa, Venezuela, Brazil now under Lula. And this is an alliance which replaced the Soviet pact.
The Warsaw Pact.
The yes. Warsaw Pact, right. Yes. And now they help each other. Iran supports Russia in its war against Ukraine. China supports Russia in the same war. North Korea supports. So they are actually a real alliance, a bloc against the Western bloc. In my humble view, the Western bloc is actually weaker. Because first of all, the Western bloc are democratic countries, and democratic countries usually do not like any war. They try to hash down all the problems, to work with people rather than fight with them. While the others, Russia, has no problem to wage a war, either against Ukraine, they actually devastated Aleppo and parts of Syria because the reasons they supported Assad. Iran has no problem to undermine the regimes in Iraq, in Syria, in Lebanon, in all these failing states. China spreads its hegemony over the South China Sea. North Korea is well known. So these countries couldn't care less about human rights, about any kind of values which the West believes in. They are about money, government, and stability. They don't care about human rights, women's rights, gays and lesbians, all these things which are cornerstones of Westernism are totally rejected in this pact of countries. And in my humble view, the future belongs to the Eastern bloc, means Russia, China, Iran, because they are functioning states. While in Europe, borders are not borders. People are not defined anymore because nationalism is a bad word. People gave up on the states. Politicians gave up on the interests of the states by allowing the invasion of the 21st century to Europe. And this is an invasion, real invasion. United States is losing its self-confidence. It's losing its belief in its way. Because people in the United States consider the United States to be a very bad country, which devastated the Red Indians, means the legitimacy of the United States is actually undermined today in the United States. The United States supports all kinds of thugs like Israel or like Mubarak, formerly, and now Sisi. Israel, United States is devastating other economies in order to serve the American economy. All kinds of these things which you hear from the woke in America. And actually Americans, many Americans today actually do not believe that America is a good country anymore. So why fight for this? Why put to promote it? And this is a very dangerous development because the American belief in itself, in the right way of America, actually is being deteriorating. And when people do not believe that their country is a good country, so people do not serve, people do not try not to pay taxes. Why support such a country, which is so bad country, like our country, the United States of America? And this is what the woke today. And it could lead America to a destruction, division to states, or, you know, there are books about why empires fall, for example. And in my humble view, the United States today is on the way to fall, while the other side of the world, China and its friends, actually on the rise. They are taking over. Europe gave up on Europeanism. The Swedes care about being Swede?
Not really.
The French, the Hollanders in the Netherlands?
Well, the Netherlands just elected Geert Wilders, so okay. maybe there's a resurgence of...
Will they make more babies?
I don't think so.
And this is actually the turning point. Because any society which doesn't reproduce itself walks very proudly into the museum. It can happen in generation, one, two, three generations. And the others, the migrants, have patience. There is a verse in the Quran which says that in Allah ma'a sabirin, Allah is with those who have patience. And they have a lot of patience.
So we should just give up?
No. What I'm saying is that you have to open your eyes, Europeans, open eyes, and start getting your act together. Look at the poll in Poland. Look in the Czech Republic. Look in Hungary. They don't accept any migrants. And they survive. And they will survive. Western Europe will not survive. In 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, if we want our children to, you know, live in normal countries, we have to start working now, if it's not too late. In some places, it might be too late. But, you know...
Which places?
I think France is gone already. When you go in... You know, a few years ago, I took a tour in Paris. And I visited the Islamic neighborhoods. Barbès, Saint-Saint-Denis. But the Champs-Élysées was, you know, normal place. Today, what I heard recently, the Champs-Élysées also looks like Saint-Saint-Denis. So if the Champs-Élysées already looks like Kasbah of Nablus, so what remained from France? Where is France? So this is what I'm. Look, if you walk in Brussels, I also visited Molenbeek recently.
Yeah.
This is like every Middle Eastern town. With the same look, the same kind of pace of life, and it spreads. I think 40% of the Brussels area are migrants. Look, Rotterdam in the Netherlands, 70% of the population in Rotterdam area are migrants. There are towns in Britain who are run by Sharia law already. Not a few. So when you see all these things, and I'm talking about facts, I'm not talking about something which will be in the future, I'm talking about what happens today. So the question is, where is Europe going? Now, if you calculate the rates of birth, you can calculate easily. If let's say the migration will be zero, let's say no migration anymore, what will be the local population? When will they be 30%, 40%, 56%, 60%, you can calculate it very easily because you see the lines, the increasing line of the migrants and the decreasing line of the locals.
So let's say the Western European countries stop migration today and they start converting their Muslim minority populations to democracy, gay rights, freedom of speech, freedom of
it's
criticism.
Called education. Yeah.
And do you think that would work?
First of all, it already works because many of the migrants become culturally absorbed. They drink whatever that comes to the glass and they eat whatever comes into the plate. They are liberated. Look, the biggest example is a lady named Rashida Dati, who came from a Muslim home, and she actually served as the Minister of Justice in France. I think it was in the days of Sarkozy, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure about the years. She served under Sarkozy, I think, as a Minister of Justice. She was a bright lady, a very good lawyer, very bright. And her nomination was accepted by everyone because she was professional. She was not married. And one day when she was a minister, well, they say that she is pregnant. Now, in France, this is not an issue because it's not your business. It's nobody's business. If a lady is pregnant or not, it's her business. That's all. Or maybe her friend. That's all. But Muslims in France started to talk about this. How come she, unmarried, Muslim, is pregnant without marriage? Okay. So she said, it's not your business. I'm French. Totally French. And they had to accept it. Not because they loved it, but she is French. And in France, it's okay. It's acceptable. Okay. Now, ladies and men, like Rashida Dati, have absolutely no problem. They are not a problem, and they will not cause a problem because they are fully integrated into the society, into the culture of the European nation which they live in. And these migrants who are integrated culturally are blessed. The problem is that not everybody is integrated culturally. There is a whole array of to what extent people are integrated. Let's say Rashida Dati is fully integrated, but there are people who are fully against integration, and these too many are those. Too many. And this is the problem. Not those migrants who are integrated, but those who refuse to integrate culturally, religiously, and they are the problem of the migrants. And usually the problems are coming from that side of the array.
So what you're saying is basically if Western European countries stood up for their values and didn't back down from them, they would at least see who among
they
the
could
immigrants...
control. They could control. Let's say somebody comes, it gets, let's say, 5-year visa, temporary visa. After 5 years, you can see what the man is doing, where his children are going, how his wife is dressed, how he behaves. Does he have a file in the police or not? What kind of work he is? Did he study? Does he speak the language? You can have, let's say, to interview him and to see if the man is integrated or not. Those who are not integrated can go back to their home, which they might feel much better there because they refuse to integrate into the Swedish or whatever society in Europe. This might be the way which migration should have been dealt with in order to prevent a situation where you import a significant number of people who do not become Swedish, French, British, or whatever. And this maybe can be done retroactively, I don't know, because those who are already citizens, it is a problem to send them away.
Yes, it is. It is against European values.
It's against the law.
Yes, that too.
Which is the values. But those who are not yet citizens could get, let's say, a temporary visa to stay here. You can study, you can work, it's okay. 5 years, you have, and after 5 years, we want to see how integrated you are. If you are integrated in this criteria, you can stay. If not, thank you so much.
I see. And I want to thank you so much, sir.
Thank you so much. We have to study this culture of Islam. You cannot look at it as something which okay, this is a religion, just like Christianity, just like Judaism. No, Islam is a culture, way much wider than religion only. Because we, in the West, we divided state and church. Church is only the religion, and everything else, economies, the state, the public sphere, is laïque, as they say in French, secular, detached from religion.
Rendered unto Caesar.
Right. While in Islam, it's a holistic culture. It's religion, economy, public life, political life. Everything is under the umbrella of Islam. You cannot divide religion from other aspects of Islamic life. And this is why it is so hard for Europeans to understand. Because they feel that, they feel, okay, let them be Muslims. It's okay as long as they are Swedish or French or British. No, their ability to absorb the culture is limited by Islam, because Islam is a different culture. Women's rights, human rights, all these things. And this is why it has to be very well studied by the local authorities and by the local people to understand what they bring in and how to deal with this. And this is what I wish Europeans to start to study about Islam, the Islamic culture, Islamic history, Islamic values, Islamic sources, and there are books, there are researchers who know.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.